I don't know if we'll ever be live. It's too scary for me.
What did you have for breakfast, Mia?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. And, oh, I had a hearty stew.
Tomato basil soup.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to anyways.
Here we go.
This isn't on, right?
I guess my attempt is...
Yeah? No?
You know, to kind of figure out the story.
I've never done anything like this before.
As I have conversations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'd say it's about as local as you can get.
All right, so here we are. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist. I'm your host, Madeline Allborn, and in the production chair tonight is the famous Owen Woods. The Creative Citizen is published through the alamosacitizen.com platform. You can find these podcasts anywhere you do your streaming. And this evening, on November 4th at 6:20, we have a very special guest in the Closet Recording Studio, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Welcome.
Thanks. My name is Rocío de Lira. I'm a lot of things. I'm a student, business owner, artist, musician. Yep.
A little bit of everything.
Yep.
All right. Well, welcome to the Closet. I'm very happy to have you here, and also your fiance who's joining us. I mean, in the background, but yeah. Yeah. You just shared with us, your engagement story, and that's just very special. So congratulations again.
Thank
I hope
you.
It's okay that I'm
yeah,
sharing that too. I think it's very special. And so there were a lot of things that were going through my head when I was just like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And then I was like thinking about it. And you've been to the Church Project a few times. You had a photo shoot here. Mm-hmm. And then also just kind of popping by to visit while even this space was under construction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I hear your name a lot. And I see your name a lot kind of attached to various things. So I was wondering, all of those various projects that you're integrated in, I was wondering, like, do you want to start in one place? Like, do you want to start talking about, like,
sure,
what's it, how are you a student? Or, like,
I guess I'll just maybe start when I came out here to Alamosa.
Oh,
I
that's a great place to, like, start.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities came about moving out here, which you wouldn't really think for, like, from, like, a small town. But so I came out here for school. Primarily, I also work at the university, so that helps me pay for college, too. In that job, though, I joined a band with my boss, who is Matthew Martinez.
Okay.
And he was the bassist. I was the drummer. So we just kind of, you know, had a couple gigs. And then eventually I ventured off into a different band, which some people might know as In Toto. So that was with just a couple college friends. I became their bassist, so I switched from drums to bass. I had no idea how to play either instruments when I started, but I just eventually learned. Totally fell in love with bass, so I kept that going for a while. And then I think I just got super busy with my own business, and I decided to just kind of go for it and start it up. It's really just focused around marketing for small businesses and kind of helping them get started, because I've heard that a lot of them have issues with branding. They're not really sure where to start. So kind of try and help them out with that too. It was originally going to be just for musicians, which is why I had that photo shoot with Autumn out here. Mm-hmm. But I just decided to kind of open it up for everyone, because I've already been doing projects for other businesses too. So, and then, yeah, here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
So when was it? How long have you been in the Valley then?
Since December 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And yeah. A unique time to come into.
Moving out here was hard.
Moving, yeah. And where did you move from?
So I used to live in Colorado Springs, and then I moved back to Leadville with my family for a couple months just while I got moved out here. Mm-hmm. So just kind of jumped around, but yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. But like born and raised Colorado?
So I was born in Mexico, raised in Leadville, Colorado. Yeah.
Rad. I've only been to Leadville like a couple times, mainly to go hiking, but what a cute little mountain town,
too. Yeah, it's looking more like Frisco and Breckenridge every day.
Yeah, I'm sure it's changing rapidly as well. And then what? So was it Adam State that brought you here originally, the music department?
Not entirely. I actually was business right off the bat.
Okay.
But music, so I kind of switched a little bit with my degree. I went from business to music and then back to business. But obviously music's still always going to be part of my life. I just think more on the side because I'm not very good at music theory. I'm good with the ear, but not music theory.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that business side of things. I asked the same question to Kevin Hernandez when I had him, you know, join us for an episode in the closet, and just about his relationship between his artistic practice and how he sees himself as an artist, but also has this entrepreneurial spirit. Because I'm also currently doing that. Like, I've always been very art driven, and never good on like the marketing side or like, how do I do this in a business sense to make money in this like, system that we live in. And I was curious about like your relationship as a musician and an artist, and then also like that kind of that business side.
So my dad's a musician also by ear, doesn't know much in theory. So that's how I learned. So I grew up with music. He would just pick up any instrument and start playing it. Just play what you feel. And if it feels good and it'll sound good. So that's kind of how
I love that.
Yeah. That's kind of how I play.
Yeah.
Cause to me, music is like, you're basically releasing part of your soul to the world. And you're sharing that in the form of sound. Same thing with like painting. He also taught me how to paint. So a lot of my artistic abilities for my dad.
Yeah.
And then the business side, I've had lots of jobs trying to pay for college. And so one of the main jobs that got me into marketing was I was a owner loyalty manager at Woodman Nissan in Colorado Springs. So it was a dealership. And I did some of their marketing. So I would go and take the cars out for photo shoots and post them on social media, come up with like campaigns, events, things that we could do. So that was really fun. And I think I just kind of started going towards that. I've also really liked the idea of like having my own business, especially just going through my classes. I think just seeing the passion from like my professors and just getting to learn about it was just kind of fun. And I always saw myself doing that. I also don't like having bosses.
Valid. I feel you.
I struggle with leadership sometimes. With like other people, certain ways of leading.
Yeah.
I don't always agree with, but so I try to like look at those things and, you know.
Yeah.
Compare how I can do better or how I can either be like them if they are good leaders. Because I've had also good leaders. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pulling from that and learning from it. Yeah. And then in some way you're like, okay, I'm learning what I don't want.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, even if something feels like maybe it's like a negative experience, you can always spin it to be positive because you're like, oh, I'm learning what I don't want to
be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And then I came out here, I tried music theory stuff and it was rough.
Just like not the vibe, didn't feel as like soul opening.
It was like nice to learn about, but I still have a hard time applying it. And I don't think I got into too many classes, so I didn't really get to like fully apply it. And I think the way they were wanting to apply it was all like vocals stuff, but I'm more of like instrumental. I do sing, but I don't like to sing in front of people.
Valid.
So yeah.
I also love to sing, but I don't think I'm great. I can... How would you say it in like the music world? Like I can't hold a note on my own, but like if I'm in like a chorus or a choir, like I can sing with people.
Right. Cause you're hearing it. Yeah.
Cause I'm hearing it and then I can match tone, but I can't be the tone
or
the pitch, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So same.
Yeah.
Well, singing's hard.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, do you want to start a choir at the church project?
Let's go. I'm sure Autumn would love to.
We should. wait, that's a great idea. I know a lot of other singers, and I mean, Angie Hennessy also, mm-hmm. You know, we're looking for in 2025 to start up her fluency in music group again.
Oh, okay.
And essentially it's like you were just describing, like you just bring your instrument or you can borrow an instrument. I have a guitar, a banjo, and two tambourines.
Hopefully at some point. The drums that I promised.
Oh my gosh. The donated drum set. Mm-hmm. Like we'll have that living on stage so people can just go jam as they want. And, but yeah, then we can have a choir too. Yeah, I feel like every church needs a choir.
Exactly.
Even if, you know, we don't have a religious affiliation. Yeah. So, well, that's awesome. Yeah. So you have all of these things that you're doing, you're a student, business owner. Amazing. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your business? It's called M3 Productions.
M3 Prod, yeah.
M3 Prod. Mm-hmm. How do you find the community, or how do you reach out to folks to get involved?
So I've actually been working with the SBDC a lot, and I've been really connecting with community through them. So
SBDC, Small Business
Development Center. So they recently just opened up their main office on campus in the business building.
Okay.
So when our professor announced that was just something super exciting for us. And so their director, Sonia, is actually one of my old coworkers, and she was applying for the job when that was all going on. So she finally got in. She was like, you need to like go for it. You need to, you know, just start it. And I was like, okay. So I think she gave me a lot of courage on that end too. And of course, Jacqueline's been a huge support as well. And so I just went ahead and started it up. Like I said, originally it was going to be for artists. So M3 was going to stand for Music Makes the Movement because, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just like, I forget we don't have video yet for these podcasts, but I'm like dancing over here. It's so cool.
Yeah. So, and it was in correlation to like dancing for sure, because I feel like the art of dance has been kind of lost as well, but also just like movement in terms of like just social, environmental kind of causes that maybe people need to like open up to and see, or, you know, I'm a huge like tree hugger.
Yeah.
Ideally, I would have loved to correlate it to that. So I was going to try and find like a way to push them together and, you know, I'd encourage artists to write music about changes that need to happen within our society and all of that. So that was the ideal dream.
This is like the church project, right? We nicknamed it the Dream Machine because this is a safe space for everything.
Right.
But more than anything, it's a safe space to dream. I feel like so often we get shut down when we share our dreams because it's like, well, how are you going to fund that?
Yeah.
Like how are you actually going to make that happen? Like, I think it's important to put down the logistics sometimes and just like, what do you really want it to be?
Yeah.
Like if there were no limits and what you could do. And also like I work full time for SLV Go, San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, as their grant writer. And like we've put in an application to Arts and Society to start an artist in residency program out at Tin Can Camp. So
Cool.
We should keep talking.
Yeah, let's go.
As that progresses because yeah, we're trying to get more artists involved and kind of this cross-sector work of that, you know, whether it be like environmental, social, you know, just different aspects of disjustice that we've been experiencing. And we want to flip the script on it in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think folks like you and, I mean, so, there are so many artists in the Valley too.
There really are, actually. I've been calling it Lamini Nashville. Just because there's so much music going on and there's so many artists all over, it's kind of crazy.
I know, it's wild. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like part of the marketing aspect and working with different musicians and artists is kind of building this directory on your website. Is that right?
Yeah. So I had this directory built on there for artists that were interested in just being listed. It didn't cost anything. And it was mostly going to be for like venues and businesses that were looking to host live music and looking to hire artists and musicians. They could look through the directory based off of like genres or whatnot, their pricing. And then they would basically have like a description of the band or the artists, their price, their availability. and their contact information so that way they can go ahead and correlate themselves and connect. So that was in the works. That did happen. I think it's been a very slow process with my business just because, you know, I'm also a student and working full time.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a lot on your plate. And I think it's, especially for big ideas like that. I mean, it sounds like it's growing really organically though mm-hmm. for you. And the way that, yeah, you're connecting with folks is, I just feel like even the way that we connected, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think the first time we officially met was at the Rural Journalism yeah. Institute workshop here yeah. Over the summer. And I was just like, Chris Lopez was right. Like, you're really cool.
That's it. Yeah, I love Chris Marianne. They're both really cool.
They're awesome. I know. Got to give a shout out to right.
yep.
Rural Journalism Institute for and Alamosa sure. Citizen. And I mean, they've been a steam train that just keeps going. Mm-hmm. But to provide like that space, yeah. right? Like whether it's an online platform or a physical space for people to come and share mm-hmm. what they're doing.
Which is actually, so this whole thing also sparked up, speaking of shout outs, because of Alma. Alamosa Live Music Association. So I was their intern for a year. I was actually their first intern. And so just getting to work with them on all of these things, I got to do more marketing too. And that was kind of cool. It's just, you know, yeah. doing their flyers and their social media. So
yeah.
big and shout out to them too.
Yeah. Wait, when yeah. were you an intern for them? Are you still an intern?
No, for them? Actually, Autumn Yoakum took over for me.
Okay.
So it was only a year internship. I started August of 2023 and ended this September.
But it was still like, while you're a student,
while I was working, it was a lot. It was a very big commitment.
Yeah.
Almost no joke. I mean, the things they put on like maybe seem simple, but there's a lot of work that goes into them.
Right. Yeah.
So
I know anything production-wise yeah. and live music, live theater, there's, I mean, a whirlwind so that happens that happens behind yeah. the scenes. That's incredible. And then yeah. weren't you also intern for Rural Journalism Institute? Or
I was an intern with Alamosa Citizen for a little bit there. I did get a promotion at work, so I had to leave that, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I still love Chris and Marianne. They're amazing people, and they definitely have like a really good idea of where this thing is going. But yeah, I did get a promotion that's going to require me to travel a lot more, so I had to drop that.
It's okay. I feel like once you're part of like the Alamosa Citizen family, like you're always part there. Of
yeah.
it. Yeah, in some way or another.
Yeah.
Wait, so where do you get to travel for work?
So I work in the prison education program for Adams State. So we service currently incarcerated students. They take courses print-based, so it's all just manual entry paper. And we recently just got this like federal thing approved for them to get Pell. We were approved in Colorado for 5 facilities to get Pell. So I have to travel to those facilities sometimes to assist in getting the paperwork from the students, talking to them about the program and a lot of recruitment and just, you know, making sure everything's good. Yeah.
Wow. How dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, as we talk about like cross-sector work and like opportunities yeah. and stuff, did not know that's what you were going to say, what yeah. you were going to do for work.
Yeah. It's a very interesting line of work.
Yeah. But I'm sure like very, I mean, impactful and important as well. I mean,
oh, yeah,
still around like the education sector mm-hmm. as well too. I know. So I was like writing down my little questions mm-hmm. I had for you earlier, and of course, we're going to go out of order. And
it's okay.
Yeah, because we start with good intention to yeah. stay on track. But I love tangents because tangents are just the evolution of a conversation more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as we talk about like being an artist, being a musician, being a student even, I guess all of these various words, like do you hold them in a different way or... like, do you feel like you put on like different hats when you're in different situations?
Yes, but they almost overlap each other quite a bit, especially like in class. I'm trying to think of like the best example. So recently we did an assignment on like interviewing. It was just, you know, I've interviewed a million times, so it wasn't really too bad. Yeah. And like a lot of the students were nervous, but I kind of just went up there and did it. And my teacher aligned her questions with similarities to my current job. Like, how do you deal with stress mm-hmm. in like high pressure jobs and like things like that? And she did mention that it's just, she only asked me that because she knows where I work and, you know, she was kind of curious to see what I would answer. So I think sometimes they just kind of overlap a little bit, but for the most part, I do feel like I wear different hats. I still try to stay genuine to myself, so I'm still a very awkward person sometimes.
I think every artist, I mean, we're all awkward in our own little ways, and we have different ways of covering it up.
Jacqueline's an athlete. I always tell her, how can you tell a musician apart from everyone else? Just put him into a sport. Because that was me as a kid.
Put him into a sport.
And put him into a sport and watch him.
and watch what happens. Yeah. Like, oh, that one's definitely an artist.
Yes. Autumn will tell you the same thing.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I just, because I have been an athlete, I mean, through high school and like my trajectory back then was not moving into the arts. Like I always loved art and drawing and painting and things like that. And but I was very committed to basketball and was on track to play in college and, you know, wanted to like really have that career. And then I got injured my senior year and I was like, visited with the doctor and they're like, no, like the issues with your back or sports will be a very short career for you, essentially is what they told me. And so that's when I started putting together a portfolio to apply to. Because I was not going to get into any college based on my grades. It was solely going to be
you were hoping on that basketball.
Yeah, on that athletic ability. And so I like put together a portfolio and, you know, like started going to different portfolio reviews and scoping out different arts colleges and stuff. Because I was like, well, I guess, I mean, this is the other thing that I have that I feel like is another part of me in a really authentic way. To kind of move into that, but
life wanted you as an artist, so here you are.
And here I am. I know. Well, and it's so funny how like life kind of puts you on these strange these like strange or like whether it was like an opportunity for you, like how did you hear about Adam State? I'm gonna rewind to before, like what was that decision?
You know, actually now that I think about it, I think I just had a strange interest in the Valley. Mm. And I think it was just partially that I had like read online of like, I mean, you have the sand dunes and you had like Crestone, which is like people consider it like mystical and like all these, you know, crazy things that happen in the Valley. So I kind of thought that was interesting. And then I found that they had the university, which is hilarious because it was the first university I actually toured in high school, but totally forgot about it. So I was just kind of thinking, well, maybe I could go there because it's a Hispanic serving institution. So I was like, you know, that might be okay to try out too. And it's a little bit cheaper than all the other colleges. So I just kind of got interested. And then when I moved back to Leadville, I started job hunting and I found the job for PEP. And I was like, you know, why not work there if I'm going to go to school? It might help me get cover the tuition. So
yeah. So then everything just kind of fell into place.
Yeah, it was very weird, though. It was very, like, something was pulling me out here.
I have heard that from people.
That, I've heard like, that a lot out here, too.
Something that draws people in. And then I think also, like, the Valley can spit people out really hard.
I've heard that exact same thing, too. That sometimes whoever's supposed to be here is here. And if the Valley's done with you, it's done with you. And it just spits you out. And if not, you're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you choose to leave and you're still meant to be here, like it's like some people call it the frog spirit, right? Yeah. Like draws you back in.
Yep.
There's lots of, curiosity around that. I think it also too, I mean, that energy from the community as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like you've really been welcomed into the Valley as well, like from your innate curiosity about what it is. And so I was wondering if you could, with all of your various projects that you have overlapping and they're kind of weaving together like your life.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that community building piece a little bit?
Yeah. So the way I see community is it's essential, you know, that like it's kind of a weird correlation, but I always think of like bees right off the bat when people bring up the word community. Just because of how interconnected they all are and they can't get the job done without each other. you know, it's a team effort. And so I think of community the same way. You're never going to get anywhere unless you, you know, work with your community and you work for your community. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just really service to each other that builds the community.
I love that.
Yeah.
Service to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really kind of like removing yourself from it in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause right. Like even though, right, you're the one who started your business, it is in service to
others.
Others. Yes. I just think it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Adding to that too, I think that's also why I opened up the business to small businesses also. Just cause I saw there was a need for it just after talking to a couple people that more than just musicians are looking for these types of services. So, and I don't know, I'm kind of like anti-corporation sometimes.
You can talk about that here. This
yeah, I'm like anti-corporation sometimes. And so I feel like, I guess like a large part of the economy issue is that we're feeding into corporations instead of feeding into our own little communities and our own small businesses, like places that we can actually thrive. I don't know, why not help them out, you know, get their names out there too.
Yeah. And yeah, reinvest our local dollars into our local economy and
yeah,
try to build that up. Yeah. I know it takes time.
It takes time, but it also just takes more people doing it. And I think it's just a matter of getting the word out too and like presenting it as like, this is kind of a movement too, you know?
Yeah.
It's a small business movement.
A small business movement. And I mean, yeah, it makes me think about, I've had a number of conversations, whether it's with Jay Sanders with the Seed Exchange or Al Stone from the Food Hub and the mm-hmm. Local Foods Coalition, right? When we think about like this shift in behavior, right? Like it's also about habit and right? Because yeah. Like, I think we're all in the habit. I mean, I'm guilty of it, right?
Oh, yeah,
that when
too.
I want to go to the grocery store or like I want to prepare a meal, I go to Safeway or mm-hmm. I go to City Market. I really try hard not to go to Walmart. It's like best I can.
Yeah.
But right, there's this, you know, convenience aspect to it. And I know the food cooperative that used to be on the west side of Alamosa, mm-hmm. I mean, it was open for a while and then they tried to expand and from there, I don't think they lost their community that was coming to it, but I think they grew too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all of the details of that, but I would be curious to see like what would happen if we tried to do something like that again.
Yeah.
Even if yeah. we're just, yeah, like keeping it or using food as like an example.
Mm-hmm.
It's
food, especially.
Food, especially in our food desert that we live in. Yeah. I mean, it is, and water is life and it's so precious. And, but when we think about like, okay, so how then, right, in this mindset of, you know, this community that we're in and we're building, how can we shift the mindset and cause habitual change that then redirects to support small businesses? I mean, it's kind of a big question.
It is a big question, yeah. Well, and like marketing is all about learning people's habits and behaviors, right? And how to use them toward like their purchases. And like, I'm not going to lie, I always tell her when I'm reading my books and stuff, I'm like, this is kind of scary. The marketing is a little scary. But at the same time, you could use that to, you know, flourish something good out of that. And so I think just kind of putting in small messages here and there of like more awareness of where you're shopping to as a consumer, because ultimately consumers have more power than they know, right? Mm-hmm. Like we hold the power in our purchases. And so
we just vote with every dollar.
Yeah. And so just like being a little more aware. To me, money is currently like the communication to these corporations and like these big businesses that of like what we want, right? But, and I know like I hear people complaining constantly that we want like small businesses and things like that, but it's like we keep, and I'm guilty of it too, right? We keep purchasing with big corporations
mm-hmm.
and they're just kind of sucking up all the resources. Like they're sucking up our attention, our environment, our time. And I mean, these are corporations that can pay for your attention easily, yeah. You know? So it's just more of like, you know, that like thing that people always say, like, wake up, like, you're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
That's what I think that is.
You take the blue pill or the red pill.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what it is. Like, your awareness is the Matrix.
Mm.
Whether, like, are you going to open your eyes to it or are you going to keep them shut and just keep going on with your habits?
Sorry. I'm like processing that for a second because there's so much in there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So much in there in terms of like us feeding, continuously feeding, but mm-hmm. maybe when there is, and maybe this can also happen through the marketing, right? This comparative aspect that maybe you'll pay $2 extra for this one thing that was grown regionally, mm-hmm. or you'll pay, you know, what we think is a cheaper price, right? For something that was grown 1,000 miles away.
Exactly. Right. And like, you don't even think about how that thing was grown, who it might have, you know, whose life it might have risked. Or because I don't know if you've ever watched this documentary. I can't remember the name. I'll have to get it to you. But okay. It's literally just essentially on avocados. Right. Like, such an innocent little vegetable. But when Mexico started sending off avocados to the United States, there were lots of families, like farm families, that were murdered. And their, sorry, it got really dark.
That's okay.
And their, like, their lands were basically stolen and gangs were made. And so they took over all these lands just because of the amount of money that was being made. So, like, our purchases really affect people in ways that we don't even realize. And so it wasn't until, like, GMOs really started kicking in and people were able to like grow avocados out here a little bit more, that, you know, that kind of stuff slowed down. But yeah, our purchases have a lot of power that we just don't even realize.
Right. Cause
it feels so far away. We don't see it, which, you know,
we just see the trucks that have like the beautiful,
right. Ignorance is bliss. Yeah. So
do you feel, I mean, like, in all the various professions that you have, how do you feel like you're, and moving away from, like, also, I mean, like, not necessarily talking about food and food justice, but just in general, in terms of stepping into this space of marketing and production in different ways, like, your responsibility to take that, like, step forward, or like how you hold an audience's attention through marketing, I think is really, I feel like it can be a powerful position. I just am curious if you can speak to that.
So I guess the way that I really want to approach this, and it's really going to take a lot of like strategy and thinking through everything, but basically using the contracts that I get with like small businesses and stuff to see if there's a way that we can merge their stuff with this type of awareness and just like throwing it out there little by little, and just having that consistency around the brand of M3 Prod, where if you are going to work with me, just, you know, expect that that's going to be a thing that I require as well, that you somehow push eco and sustainability on consumerism, and like how these businesses would push for eco-friendly products or eco-friendly whatever it might be, mm-hmm. or social friendly whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess that's like the initially what I'm thinking. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of like the details on some of these projects. So it's really just going to be taking it little by little.
Yeah.
And just kind of figuring it out as I go. Right. That I've noticed. So.
Yeah. It's not just kind of like, I'm here for hire. I'll design your logo. And then.
Yeah. Done. That to me just feels really empty.
Yeah. Well, it's very transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not really what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's so, not the vibe, you know, like, let's build the connection. Let's build the partnership. And what it really sounds like and what I'm hearing is like value alignment, mm-hmm. like the values that you have, you want to, right? We create, I was talking about this with some friends the other day, and the way that we think about, and this also isn't my idea. This is James Clear, Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. If you've read that book or have heard of it.
I've heard of that. You know what? It's funny because maybe I need to read this book because it's like, it keeps presenting itself to me today. We talked about it in class.
Okay.
Today, yeah. So maybe I need to.
Yeah, I just loaned my copy to my friend Meg, but when she was like, "Oh, I'm already through like chapter 6 or something."
It's really good. So
it is really good. But James Clear says, "We don't rise to the level of our goals; we fall to the level of our systems." And it's just something I've been thinking about because I read that book right before I started Floor Saga, which is phase one construction of tearing out the carpet and scraping the glue off the floor here at the church project. And that line really stood out to me because it's true. I mean, when we fall to the level of our systems, it's talking about our habits, right? It's talking about like, what are the little things that we can do every day or every week or every month that make a big impact in the long run.
Right.
So I think your approach in growing your business and growing your community and kind of these bite-sized manners, like you really, sounds like you're building a really strong foundation.
Thank you.
For your business. And I mean, just really presenting yourself in an authentic way. That's
Thank you.
Very cool to know you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Atomic Habits.
Atomic Habits. I definitely got to read that. I'm telling you. It's just being thrown in my face today. So
yeah, I've always been really bad at marketing. And I've talked to a lot of artists who are also like, I feel really like it's not something I can do. Like I can make the work, but it also feels like I am selling myself. Like how?
Like ungenuine. And
yeah.
Yeah. Because I did the marketing for Intoto also. And so, I mean, with that, we grew pretty, you know, pretty consistently, and it wasn't like this crazy growth, right? But we were still pretty excited about it. But it did feel like towards the end, we were maybe trying to stray away from who we actually were as like individuals and as a group. And I kind of feel like that almost broke us apart a little bit. Mm. Not necessarily like in a bad way, like we're all still friends and everything, but I think it was just made everything so stressful. Like we had to keep up this like image
of like something that you
something
like
that we solidified. weren't actually.
Yeah.
You know,
because like you like evolved.
Yeah. And like for a while we would talk about like what we need to do to be more present on social media. And like we were trying to compare ourselves to like other small bands that we've seen. And it's just like, it just started feeling kind of like fake and we weren't really into it as much.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that we like tried doing it. It's just because we're also very awkward, like every single one of us. But it just wasn't a right fit.
Like it felt like you had to like, you all like grew this persona together and then you were, instead of just performing the music, you had to perform the persona.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you developed.
Yeah. And I don't know. Personally, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of get what they feel like those artists saying that when they market themselves, it's like kind of hard to do and they have to be someone else to try and catch people's attention. And I think I've noticed that a lot on social media. I think that's just what social media became now, that everyone feels the need to continue doing that because it's worked. But it's like we need to realize, too, that things change and we don't always have to do the same thing. We don't have to be like different personas in social media that we normally aren't.
Right.
I think people like genuine like personalities, and I think that goes a longer way than you know, trying to pretend. Mm-hmm. At least with artists that like I've seen, I like the more genuine ones when they start kind of coming off as a little like, you know,
egotistical
but also just like prescripted.
Ooh, yeah.
It almost takes away from like the actual like music.
Yeah.
Even.
I could see that.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done any like live performances. I mean, outside of like performance art, I guess, in like its own way, but like I'm never like talking to an audience. I'm just like doing something in front of an audience or in front of a camera. Like Floor Saga was documented in photography, so but yeah, and then there's, yeah, like it feels staged or like scripted, like you said.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all I asked the same question to Macy Sigeti, who I had on the podcast a few weeks ago. And in terms of like, how does she feel like she holds responsibility for change?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like some folks are, maybe they're afraid to change, or maybe they're like, I'm locked into this like identity of my business or my brand or my band or, you know, how we, I mean, yeah, I guess branding is a good kind of way to think about it, I mm-hmm. suppose. But like, it's also okay to change that, because like we change
yeah.
as people. So I guess I'm curious, like, how do you feel like you hold responsibility for change in your life?
So honestly, I think just trying to be myself more so every day with people around me and with my, like, the things I do on my business. And just as far as like branding, like definitely putting my own personality into it a little bit more. But I think when we feel like we're locked into the same thing, it's because we're trying so hard to find something new and like original that's not that. But we're almost trying too hard, because if we would just like be ourselves, that already is originality. You know, like there's only one us.
There's like, even only for, one.
Yeah,
us.
There's only one us. So you never know, like if being an artist, if just being you is going to, you know, have people really locked into your music, even. If you're feeling your music, you're feeling your music. But if you're just like choreographing all these dances, you're not listening to the music. You're trying to like do the thing. You know what I mean? Like you're just trying to like dance. I'm imagining like famous musicians like dancing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that no longer is part of the music.
Yeah.
It's just a show.
Mm.
It's really just a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like theaters at that point, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not music anymore.
Right. Yeah. It takes away from like some kind of, I mean, I'll be repetitive here and saying, authenticity.
Yeah.
But also like this like aspect of like entertainment.
Yeah.
I've had some like sidebar conversations with Owen Woods, our producer, and then also my youngest sister. She worked in Las Vegas for various theater companies, some small, some like MGM big stage stuff, like, mm-hmm. or the EDC, like big rave concerts, like building trees out of like LED lights, like really wild kind of venues and things. But her favorite work was like the lowest paying job in like the smallest live theater. For stage performances, right? Like, because it had this like different level of authenticity, and it stepped out of this realm of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and it stepped into the realm of like watching someone on stage, like perform not just perform a character, but like live the character, like live the music, right?
Exactly.
It was a very different experience. Is experience not entertainment?
Yeah.
Well, entertainment's still an experience, but they're very different.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. So it sounds like, you want to be more in that experience realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what I think of like music to be. It is an experience, right?
Yeah.
It's an experience being shared. It's an experience being absorbed. It's, you know, it's just an experience. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of like the modern day new pop music coming out, and like just the new music that's coming, because it just feels very egotistical to me,
mm-hmm.
and very, you know, self-centered, and I have a really hard time connecting with that, and so I don't tend to listen to it as much, mm-hmm. Unless I'm like totally not even thinking about the music, like if I'm in the gym or something, it's just like
it's just like a beat to follow.
But if I'm like wanting to just enjoy the music, it's not my first go-to for sure.
So what do you like to listen to?
So probably my favorite is reggae. There's just a lot of meaning behind reggae, and the beats I can really just kind of flow with. Sounds weird to say, but reggae is part of the reason why I even started playing drums too. Because I couldn't play drums before to save my life. And for some reason, just one day I was like,
let's go.
You just like picked just listen up to some reggae and some like sticks, and you just like, well, maybe that'll be me too. Yeah. When we get the drums here,
there you go.
You might you teach me how to do a beat.
Put on some like headphones, vibe out to the music, and just like let your body feel it. That's kind of what I did. And it worked.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I did not grow up in like a family of musicians. My dad and my sister sang, and sometimes when we all sing together as a family, I jive with it, but never really with instruments. Like, I think I remember playing the recorder in like grade school, and then I got to play the clarinet because my older sister Connor got to play the clarinet. I really wanted to play the saxophone.
Me too. And I ended up in the clarinet for the same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad had sold his saxophone by the time I got to high school, and I was like, you know, I could have been saxophone.
Settle for
such
the clarinet.
Such a sexy instrument.
Right?
But yeah.
So reggae, that's your...
It's
like your go-to, or...
Yeah, I think for a lot of different emotions, I just kind of go to reggae. But I am pretty open to all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, like I said, it has to have meaning, and it has to have like, it just has to connect with me somehow. So,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I did want to ask you about, I mean, we talked about like mentors, and I mean, it sounds like your dad might be a mentor for you, like teaching you music, or just like how to feel the music, and then maybe some professors. And then do you have like, like musical mentors, I suppose. I mean, that you would consider like, oh, they're a musician like out in the world that are guiding you, maybe.
Like directly guiding me, or like just like I'm like... following their...
Like you're following their story, like...
I would say there's probably a couple for different times in my life and different changes I've gone through. I'm trying to think.
No, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. I know they're big questions.
Good. I just got... I'm like trying to think of the main musicians. Okay, so I would say... Tosh Sultana is one of them. I don't know if you've heard of her. Oh, I love Tosh. Some of her newer music's a little questionable, but
I feel the same way.
I think she's kind of falling into that like big star, like, you know, flow.
Yeah, she's kind like of dipping into what the audience wants versus like what is inside of her.
Yeah, and I think the audience doesn't necessarily even know what they want, and they just like it's ruining it a little bit, but it's okay. She's still a great musician.
So old Tosh.
Old Tosh, for sure.
We're on first name basis.
Yeah, just because she's also seems like the kind that, you know, has a good ear and follows what she's, you know, feeling. And I think her music just really resonates with me. I feel like I look to her in terms of like letting go of my stage fright. Because I've had some like crazy stage fright, so I look to her for that, and just like watching her videos just kind of like helps me, you know, get in a better mood to do that. And then I think some of the Marleys, the Marley family, definitely I also see as mentors.
Yeah.
Honestly, I forget her name. I'm horrible with artist names.
No, you're, I'm, yeah.
Oh, Aurora. I don't know if you've heard Aurora.
Oh my gosh.
I love her music.
I love her. She's also so wonderful and awkward.
So she, yes, exactly. She's awkward, but she's also very kind. Yeah. And like her music's very true. And it just has so much meaning in terms of like being wild, being yourself, and like loving, like appreciating and respecting nature.
Yeah.
So I feel like she helps me like stay grounded and like,
yeah,
you know,
I'm still
a wild animal at heart.
Right. Yes.
Like at the very core, humanity are still animals.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I love her too. I just sent Yeah, because I'm on like Instagram or whatever, and I get caught up in the reels. But I follow her on Instagram, and there was this one post that I sent it to my friend Dustin. And because we were also talking about how we're both like very awkward, and he's like, I'll do a podcast, but I'll just talk forever. And I was like, that's perfect. But it was a video of her like up on stage and like sharing with the audience that her being on stage feels like the equivalent of her like being in the bathroom, like going to the bathroom. She's like, so here I am just taking a shit in front of all of you.
That's exactly that's, like, how that feels. That's awesome.
Just, like, opening up like all of her fears of stage fright.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect way to describe that. I've never actually been able to put it to words of like how I feel. Like even just like in class when I was taking drum lessons, it was just so awkward for me to play in front of my professor, like the things I'd been practicing for weeks, and it would come out so bad, so bad. But the second she'd like leave the room, I would start playing fine. Mm-hmm. And so one day she had left the room because it was, you know, we were done with the lesson. So I started practicing again. And she like came in, like snuck into the room. And then when I finished playing, she was like, oh my God, you're so right. You actually sound really good. You sound
really good when no one's listening.
When no one's listening. I'm like, yeah. Well, so yeah, I can definitely resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. What would be your advice to all the other people who have stage fright out there?
You know, at the end of the day, it's not even about you. It's about the music. So
take the pressure off.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen plenty of awkward artists that have been really great artists, and it's really just the music. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have to maybe stop making it about ourselves if we're going to let it flow. Because when we do flow, when we're alone, that's what we're, you know, we're forgetting about who we are. We're forgetting about the self. We're just flowing with the energy.
Going with the energy.
Going with the energy.
That's really great advice. Yeah. Because it's not. Yeah, it's not about us at the end of the day.
It's not.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like performances kind of feel more and more egotistical over time. And I think it's because we just feel like we need to present ourselves in a certain way, but it's more the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there really is no like ownership over that.
No.
Yeah. I have an interesting relationship with ownership because on paper I own this building.
Right.
But in like the reality of what the church project is no one owns it.
Right.
Like no one owns creativity.
Yeah.
Like I've more recently, originally I was just calling myself like the lead artist of the church project. And now when I do like email signatures, I say like the steward of the church project. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm stewarding the space. And that feels more in alignment with like how I want to be involved. Right. Like, it's everyone else that's bringing in the energy
here. Because it's like, think of like the church project as like the music, right? Like if you were to make it just about you being the owner and like being the main artist, then it's a little awkward, right? Like,
yeah,
it kind of like defeats the purpose of what you're trying to put out there for people.
Right.
And so that's how I feel. I see music as like the church project. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, yeah, even when people are dancing to your music and just having fun, and you just start having fun too, and it's just, it's the best thing. But like if you're like trying to force it, it's like really weird and awkward, and then they get weird and awkward.
And then, yeah, and then that energy is just like,
yeah, and like
back
no
and
one's
forth.
Listening to the music at that point.
Yeah.
So
deep listening, you just gotta like feel it and go with it, and then what we take in ultimately we put back out.
Yeah, I would say close your eyes too is another good advice if you need to.
Do you like picture yourself in like another place or space?
Nope, I actually just close my eyes, stare at the darkness and listen, like literally just listen. And so I think I mentioned it earlier too, like my dad taught me that if it feels good, it's probably going to sound good. So I also listen to not just the sound, but like how I'm feeling. Because the instrument's basically the extension of yourself, right? Like,
yeah.
how you play the note, how you present it, it's going to come out. And if you're enjoying yourself, everyone else is going to enjoy themselves too.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But I'm very awkward still. So I say this, but it's easier said than done.
Right.
So takes practice.
Takes practice to be awkward.
To be comfortably awkward, I think.
Comfortably awkward. It'll be the title of this podcast. Comfortably awkward.
Yeah.
I love that. I also wanted to ask, because this is still a very new space. Because the closet has lots of different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also just like curious, like for you, like what is a closet space for you? Like, does it like mean anything? Or does it have like greater depth than?
I would say a closet space to me is where you keep a lot of your like personalities. And like your like past selves, almost past it, few current and future selves. Just because like the clothing you wear, right? Like some of it might be old, some of it might be like it's not super old, but it's there. Kind of getting bored of it, but not entirely. I still like it. And then when you go shopping, you throw in your new stuff in there. You're like excited to wear it the next day.
Yeah.
But also, I think I look back to when I was a kid, and I used to love like holding on to like old things, like old books and like toys, like when I was way younger. So I would like just like stuff them all in my closet. And so like later on I would clean it out and get rid of old things, but I would love to just go through and look at things and like think about the memories that I had with those. And like me and my sisters would just like sit there and laugh about the stories we would have with certain toys or clothing or whatnot. So I feel like those were just like, we were laughing at like our past selves and like who we used to be when we were playing with those things or wearing those things or how much we've grown and out of that clothing and all that stuff. So I think that's how I see a closet, is like you're just different personalities.
I love it. I haven't heard that one yet. So that's great. I know I forgot to ask you to bring an article of clothing to donate. You'll have to come back.
Yeah. I'll have to come back with the drum kit.
With the drum
that
kit.
That I keep forgetting.
That's okay. One day.
I need to clean it. I just need to wipe it down.
You're good.
She's a little dusty, but she's there.
Sweet. Well, awesome. And I also, want to extend an invitation that, as you progress and move forward, because I also know, that you're going to be hosting a podcast at some point too?
I hope so.
Maybe?
Yeah, down the line. Down the line.
On the list of, interviewing musicians. Mm-hmm. I guess probably another artist too.
I was going to say musicians, and probably just extend it to like some of the small businesses I work with just to get their name out there too. But
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fun for musicians.
Totally. Well, I wanted to offer this space.
Yeah, thank
to you.
You
as well.
Thank you.
If you want to borrow it.
Definitely. I definitely do.
You come and like borrow various clothes.
Yeah, right. Make them all dress up.
So one day we will do that. We'll all be in like costume. And Halloween just happened. Like that would have been a great time to be dressed.
You know,
up
it's
in the
funny.
Closet.
I forgot what day this interview was, and I showed up, I think like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, wait a minute, it's not today.
I'm so sorry.
No, that was my bad. I was not paying attention.
I had to, definitely double check. I was like, no, it's tonight.
Yeah.
I got to be here tonight. Do you have anything else you want to share? Could be anything.
I don't know much else to say, really. I think we covered a lot.
I think we covered a lot, too. Yeah, I've been very happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks
space.
For having me.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening in to another episode of The Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist. I am your host, Madeline Allborn, and you can find these podcasts on any streaming service. See you next time.